Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world. God bless you. God bless you. It is time to dive into the Word. Let's see what the Lord has us. Let's not turn in tonight. Let's stay up a little bit longer and hold out a little bit longer. And whatever you fed off of the Word of God today, let's just get a little bit more. This is just a little snack for you, okay? Before you lay down, just to rest your head in the comfort of His Word, okay? We're going to start with our scripture tonight, and it's just a little bit different tonight. We're going to go to Ephesians in the New Testament. And in Ephesians, we're going to chapter 4, and out of there, we're just going to read a verse out of there. And then we're going to go over to Colossians, and we're going to read a few verses out of chapter 3 there, okay? So if you're in Galatians in the New Testament, if you just make a right turn and go to the right, you'll find Ephesians, and then let's go down to the chapter 4. And then after we read chapter 4, again, it's going to be verse 31 in Ephesians. And then after Ephesians, we're going to go into Colossians. So and Colossians is just right down the street from Ephesians. Philippians separates the two. So you just continue to make a right from Ephesians, pass by Philippians, and you will be knocking on the door of Colossians, okay? So let's get started, shall we? Ephesians 4 and 31. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with everything and every form of malice. So I say that slowly because it's a lot of stuff. Those are all big things that we face on a daily basis, and it just depends on if we were able to fight off those temptations for these different things today, or how many of these did we stop and we give a lot of unnecessary time and attention to today. But again, let's go through, and then we'll continue with verse 32. 31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So again, verse 32 again tells us to, after we have done the things in verse 31, by getting rid of those things that is not of God, those things that weigh us down, those things that would block our blessings for today, those things that would hinder us instead of propelling us forward. That is the same things that we're getting rid of, the bitterness, the rage, the anger, the brawling, the slander, and every form of malice, and every thing that comes against us in that negative spirit. As we get rid of that, then He gives us what to do. He don't want us to stand out there naked with nothing on us. He said, but now I want you to clothe yourself with this. Be kind. So take on kindness. Show compassion. So be compassionate to one another. And then be forgiving to each other. There's the biggie, right? Be forgiving to each other. And He said, I'm not asking you to do anything that hasn't been represented or shown as an example for you. Just as, do these things just as our Christ God has forgave us. He's forgave us. We pray on our knees for forgiveness, and when He answers those prayers, oh, wow, someone can do less than us, or maybe even more than our sin, and we have a hard time forgiving. And that's when we want to go look for that bitterness, and we go looking for that malice, and we go looking for that rage and that anger, and we go looking for a brawl. Stop. I beg of you to stop right now. Whatever it is, stop. And exchange all of that, trusting God that He will handle whatever it is that you think that only you can handle. Only you can take care of it. Only you can is hurt by the situation. He feels what you feel. He knows the future and He knows the outcome if you take on and pick up all of this negative spirit and go out there to set out the right, the wrong. I ask you to stop right now. And in exchange, will you trust God enough today to exchange all of that for kindness, to exchange all of that for compassion, to exchange all of that and ask God, teach me how to forgive in this situation? Because if you could forgive me, my Father, teach me how to forgive my sisters and brothers. Hallelujah. So we have to ask him to teach us. We have to be willing to trust him that he is going to handle the situation, vengeance is his. And then as we go travel down the same neighborhood, we'll go over to Colossians 3. And again, it says, we'll start in verse 7, 3 and 7. It says, in the which ye also walk sometimes, when you live in them, but now ye also put off all these. Again, he's reminding us, put off what? Put off anger. You may have once time lived in that anger world. You have once time lived in that when you was on the milk and you didn't even know anything different or before you even came to the Lord. But now that you know, now that you got your big girl pants on, your big dress on, your big guy pants on, however it may be, now that you're not walking in those same shoes that you were in before, step into some new shoes. Step out and see what else life is about. You've tried living life the way that you've always known. Now try something different. Try something different. So, yeah, sometimes you walked in anger, but now it says, put off these things. Put off anger. Put off the wrath. You know, put off the malice. Put off the blasphemy. That's where we're at. Put off all of your filthy communication out of your mouth. Get it out of your mouth. We just wrapped up the series about the words and how we need to make sure that we're growing with our words. So get all the filthy communication out of your mouth. The blasphemy. You're talking about the malice. We're talking about wrath. We're talking about all of the anger. When you lived in those things, you were there in those things. But verse 7 says, now that you used to do that. See, it's a lot of things that we can look back now and say, you know, I used to do this, you know. But hopefully you're not in a situation where you're looking back and saying, well, you know what, I've been smoking ever since I was 12 or ever since I was 19. And now you may be 50 and 60 years old and you're still doing the same thing. It's not too late to make a change, but you need to make sure that you put off those things. Put away those bad habits. Be willing to look forward to something else. Hallelujah. Be willing to say, God, what else do you have for me? Hopefully you're not one of those and say, you know, I've been a player all my life. I ain't never wanted to settle down with one woman. I ain't never had the idea in my head that I just wanted one man. And if one don't work, I just keep on, and I divorce him, and I go to the next and to the next and to the next and to the max. And sooner or later, you're going to get tired, and it's going to start to show in your life. And everything that you're wanting to touch is not going to be as precious as it once was for you. And now what do? When you find yourself up in age and you just push, you wandered away all of your good senses about you, and now no one really respects you, or you put yourself in a predicament that you may need someone to help you now, to take care of you, to be there for you, but who's going to be there after the way that we've treated people throughout our lives? We need to make sure that we're taking heed to the word of the Lord. It is there to help us, not to hinder us. Verse 9 tells us to lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So again, 9 and 10 says, lie not one to another, you know, and then seeing that you've put off the old man and all the deeds that came with the old man. Stop the lying. Stop all of the things that you did when you was in the old man clothing. So now you have new garments. You have garments of righteousness. You have garments of peace, garments of joy. You have garments of God's grace and his mercy and his protection and his understanding and his forgiveness. So lie not one to another. And then 10 says, now that you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we often say that you are going to be, not maybe, but you are going to be the only God that someone sees today, every day. The God inside of you is represented every time that you speak, every time that you even walk out. You are the only God that someone is going to see today. What are you showing? The God of what? Are you mastering in the God of lust? Are you mastering in the God of lies? Are you mastering in the God of deceit? Are you mastering in the God of love? Are you mastering today in the God of forgiveness? Are you mastering in the God of kindness? When you're along and you're in conversation, you're sitting with someone and the conversation kind of dies down and it gets a little, you know, awkward at times because, okay, something should be said right now. What words do I choose? What do you choose to say? Are you going to choose to gossip and start a juicy conversation that will last the rest of the night and maybe into the morning? I would prefer to stay in the awkward moment or say, I guess it's time for me to go. Or can we listen to music? Can we watch TV? Do something than to start slandering someone's name just to get the conversation going. And that may sound crazy, but if you stop and watch the words that come out of your mouth, you will be surprised at some of the evil things that the enemy will put in your mind to say. See? Because everything's idled, and we know that idle mind is the devil's workshop. Hallelujah. Well, we thank you, Jesus, for our scripture. I just thank you for the power, even in your word. I don't care how we read it, when we read it. There's power in the word. There's power in the word. There is power in the word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your love. We ask that you just use us and just tell us what it is that we need to do to go forward in our message and our word today. And we praise you and honor you for blessing our homes, blessing our lives, keeping us all safe and protected, never leaving us, never forsaking us. Thank you for our jobs, our families, our food. Thank you for shelter. Thank you for our finances. Thank you for protecting our nations, dear Father. Thank you for blessing each and every voice and that's going to hear this and that they can confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Dear Father, I just thank you, Jesus, for opening up the heavens for all of us to have an opportunity to be with you, to learn from you, to be in your presence. We ask continuous prayers over our president, over all of Congress and the government in whole, dear Father. Just we ask you to just reveal all of the things, dear Father, that is not right, dear Father. And set it straight in Jesus' name, we pray. Bless all service men and women that is fighting wars and rumors of other wars. And bless their families during the separation time. We ask blessings over each one of our families. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Blessings over JD and Tanya. Bless their relationship. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Over T and Sue. Over D and James. Blessings over LaMesa and Tatiana. Blessings over Reggie and Stephanie and Candace and Jay and Janet. We thank you, Jesus, for blessing Adrian and Arbery and Alex. Blessings Chris and Priscilla and their boys. Just continuously bless us all. Blessing Barbara and the counseling. In Jesus' name, thank you for blessing me. Amen. Amen. We didn't forget about your 6-5. God bless James Stimmers. Senior, God bless you. All right, well, let's go ahead, and tonight we're going to start something a little different here, but very important, and we're talking about violence, and we're talking a little bit about, like a scripture started us with, about what happens with the anger what happens when you do live in that old man's suit with the violence and carry on with abuse and some of the situations, real life situations. So we're going to go ahead and get started, and some of this here may shock you, but I know that it will definitely open your eyes to the other side of domestic violence. And we definitely have information for the people, anyone, for all of us as we go through it. So we're going to go through and bring the word to you that was brought to me from the Family Advocacy in St. Fort, well, it was in Fort Sam, Houston, Texas, as they're standing there trying to help any families that is going through any form of violence. And it's just an important matter that you hear about more and more, and it could be happening to your family members, and you never sometimes don't know what to say or do I get involved? Do I not get involved? Is the kids involved? So we're going to touch a lot of that, and so we're going to try to finish this up tonight and tomorrow night. If we have to go into Friday, then, of course, as God leads, we definitely will. Everyone is familiar with the problem that we call domestic violence. As soon as we hear the words, we think of other names, which is known by, like wife beating, maybe a woman battering. Sometimes it's referred to as partner abuse. But almost all of us, domestic violence brings to mind the image of a woman who's been hurt by her abusive male partner. That's normally the way that we perceive the words domestic violence. Common sense tells us that if one spouse can become violent, then the other probably can too. Have you considered that? I mean, after all, we've seen that women have the ability to excel at school and we excel at work. We support our families on their own. We achieve ambitious goals just like men. So I'm not saying that women are men and there's no difference because God knows I love being a woman and I love my man being a man, you know. So as you do too. But I'm just saying that women can achieve a lot of things on their own. Women can get out there and we can, you know, we're mothers and we run the households and we take care of our husbands and our kids and we take care of our jobs and we take care of the kids on our own when we don't have husbands and just so many different things that we can achieve. So it should not be surprising that some women, like some men, are abusive to the ones that they love. But somehow we are surprised. The world is always surprised at those figures and facts. We may not hear much about women abusing their male partners, nor talk about it very often, but research does tell us that it occurs more, well, much more frequently than most of us think it does. Let's just say it like that. And then many couples live a pattern of mutual abuse. I know. I hear of a lot of different situations where it is the abuse is mutual. They are at each other. And the mutual abuse, which hurts everyone involved, including their children, even families, whether their children are actually hit or not, they are involved. Whether their families are actually hit or not, you know, when you're trying to get involved, you know, and you don't want to see your loved one hurt, I mean, it affects everyone involved. So it's two sides of that same coin, shall we say. Now, there are many differences between violent males and violent females. But in both cases, the victim can be severely hurt. They can be hurt emotionally, and they can be hurt physically. So today, we're just looking at the fact that the facts that are known about domestic abuse is which the woman takes an active role, not in self-defense, but while considering what that abuse means for the man, the woman, and their children, and how they can move forward safely and how they can move forward in a healthier way of dealing with each other. That's our purpose, to look at and to define and to help and bring some resolution. Amen? So defining our term, so what do you mean by obese? I mean, different people mean different things. For some, abuse refers only to physical violence, the hitting, the shoving, the kicking, the throwing things. Some people consider that as physical abuse, and so on and on. But for others, abuse means any type of mistreatment, including verbal abuse, name-calling, screaming, and emotional abuse, put-downs, humiliation, controlling behaviors, etc., etc. Now, when men talk about abuse by a woman, they are most often talking about physical violence. Men are generally reluctant to report abuse at all, and when they do, they usually have to do it with battering and physical injury. So while both partners may be capable of verbal abuse or emotional abuse, and again, physical attacks, most of the time, though, men just do not report it as much or as the female, or as quickly, I would say, as a female would report it, unless it has got to a point that it is really physical and they're needing some kind of treatment. Most of the time it's when the man will report it. But the statistics are surprising. If we refer only to physical abuse, all the statistics tell us the same thing. They say that just as likely to attack their partners as men are, and that's very shocking. Some studies find themselves more prone to violence. A report from the State University of New York found that 34% of men admitted hurting their partners, while 40% of women admitted hurting theirs. The same study found that more women than men admitted abusing their partners, and more men than women reported being abused. Now, I just remind you that you can reach out for any literature on this this topic that we're diving into tonight by contacting me, your host, Minister Von Dumas, at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Let me just give you a couple more statistics here, and we'll move on as far as important. Now, it's the study in the Journal of Marriage and Divorce Today found that more than half of elderly victims of partner abuse are male. For some reason, in elderly victims, as far as the partner abuse, it turns the elderly men are more likely to be the victim than they are to be the one that's dishing out the abuse. The National Family Violence Survey report that male violence to women has decreased since 1975, a long time ago, while female violence against men has increased. I wonder why. While men and women may hurt each other in equal numbers, they don't always hurt each other in the same way. So there are important differences in the way that this violence is administered. So let's look at some of those. When a man abuses a woman, the results are likely to be more severe, more severe. So remember, we were speaking about sometimes violence. Some people hear domestic violence, they say, oh, well, it's only pertaining to if it gets physical. I really don't consider abuse that verbal abuse doesn't count. Some people just only think that abuse refers to physical violence, the hitting, the punching, the kicking, the throwing things. But we're actually putting it all under one umbrella. And the verbal abuse, the emotional abuse, is still abuse. It's still abuse. It still hurts and injures everyone that's involved. Everyone that is involved. So Again, when a man abuses a woman, the results are likely to be more severe. It's a fact of life that males usually are bigger and stronger than females, correct? So for most couples, it's not even a fair fight. It's a cowardly act. It's not even a fair fight. Probably because of this difference in size and the difference in strength, women are more than three times as likely as men to use a weapon in a physical fight. And again, it makes sense, right? Probably because of that size, probably because of that strength. The women are more likely to reach out and pick up a weapon in that physical fight, and then they end up doing something. Male violence is known to escalate and become more deadly when the woman leaves, or when that woman tries to leave, or when that woman even talks about leaving. Females usually confine their abuse to the relationship. Separation violence by women is rare. Most women will keep that abuse to themselves for as long as they can. But they fear, because if they know, if they even talk about leaving, in many cases they're already threatened. The threats start to roll. So it is found that male violence is known to really escalate to its highest point when that woman tries to leave, or when she does leave, and in many cases have been gone many times, long months or maybe years, and still, you know, they come back and still looking for them and different things like that. Among males, the violence is usually part of the whole system. The man uses the violence to control the woman, wipe out her self-esteem, wipe out her independence, and he tries to isolate her from others. Among females, such pattern is rare. Usually the women do not try to just turn him down to a point that he can't, you know, he just feels so low about himself that he don't feel like he's worth anything anymore. But women's violence tends to be more of a kind of an emotional outburst. Women can be more emotional. That verbal abuse, that, you know, playing with their emotions and stuff can really be the things that abusive ways that women tend to act out mostly. And some sad similarities are that there are also many ways in which male violence and female violence are too similar. For example, men and women are exactly as likely to start the physical fight. And in this day and age, as you look around in our schools, most of the fights are female. Most of the fights are female. Men are the first to become violent 25% of the time in a relationship. Women are the first 25% of the time just in normal conversations, maybe not in a relationship, but in other just communication. So they kind of equal out there, and it's really sad on both parts. The remaining 50% of the partner abuse episodes, both partners go at it equally. Some partners is just like that. They fight. I know people who's been fighting for over 25 years, and they're still in there. They will tell you in a heartbeat, you know, that's my boo, that's my husband. You know, we've been fighting for years, but that's just the way it is. They got the scars to prove it. But both men and women are more likely to become violent if they've been drinking or if they've been using other drugs. They're just more likely to become violent. And some people will tell me, you know, everything is fine with us until we drink. She just can't drink. She can't handle her liquor. She can't hold her liquor. I think that's the phrase. You know, everything, she just gets violent once she drinks, or he just gets violent once he smokes marijuana, or he laces his marijuana, or I hear it all. Or, you know, once, you know, he snorts. So once he shoots up, he's a different person. You know, it's just like, yeah, well, I suspect that it is, because you're putting different things into your temper. So, yeah, how can you not become a different person? You're demanding your spirit to take on a different attitude, a different persona. So, of course, you're going to be a different person while you're under the influences of those. However, those same people that come and speak those different things, are I can identify when the violence starts, and that it's a repetitive thing that happens over and over again. Surprisingly enough, those same couples can still go drink together. Those same couples still will do whatever they can to get this partner this drug of choice. Knowing that the outcome is the same thing. So again, insanity is doing the same thing the same way, but you're expecting new results. You're expecting something else to happen. And this time he's going to drink, but he's not going to get violent. And he's done it for the last 90 times, but this time maybe it'll be different, you know. And so nothing different ever happens until one day one is found dead, or it gets to the point that someone else has to get involved, or the kids grow up and now they're showing the same behavior that's their environment. So we're surprised when now they're doing the same thing, you know. But most of the violence comes when one of the partners have been drinking or using drugs. Now, neither the violent man nor the violent woman has much success in changing unless they have both find help and a realistic motivation to change. They both have to decide that they're going to find some other form of motivation to make a change. Because if one decides to, this is not the life I'm going to live anymore, I'm not going to drink anymore, and that's what they've been doing, if you're still in that household, the other one's still going to do it, the problem's still going to escalate, and it's still going to be physical fights, it's still going to be emotional abuse, it's still going to be verbal abuse. So together you have to seek out some help, and together you have to find some motivation that you are going to make changes in your life and the way that you carry on. But the bottom line is that domestic violence is indeed a problem. It's a problem to the men and women involved in it, and to the rest of society as well. Even whether you're at work, you have to, as leaders, you watch the ones that come to work, and you can always tell when something is going on in that home. As teachers, you can always identify, if you watch closely enough, when something is going wrong in that student's home, and you notice that they're withdrawn, or they're wearing long sleeve shirts in San Antonio, you know, in May, June, July, August, September, you know, even October, and they're in long sleeve shirts, and when it's still too hot, you know. So different things like that, if you're paying attention, you will notice a lot of different signs that may otherwise be overlooked. So whether the person is doing the hurting is male or female, someone is being hurt, and that's a problem. That's a problem. So it affects our society as well. And how does it happen, and why does it happen, as we go just a little bit deeper here? As we've seen, women usually don't use violence as a way of totally controlling their male partners, but they do tend to follow the cycle of violence, even though it's not for the reasons, mostly not for the reasons of controlling, but they follow that same cycle that is common when the men are the abusers. And there are other similarity factors that make the violence more likely to happen, like a violent temperament. Researchers have shown that some people are just more likely than others to be violent in any emotional situation, not just in love relationships. This is true of women as well as men. And again, looking at those signs again, signs of a violent temperament in a woman or a man, for that matter, can include some of the things that we're going to touch on tomorrow. And we're going to start with that tomorrow, just looking at some of the signs of violent temperament in women and men. Hallelujah. And then we're going to move through, and like I said, it's a very important topic. It is definitely involved in our schools, in our homes, on our jobs, and we're here to reach out and help. And someone listening tonight may say, Evangelist Vaughn, I'm in a situation that's like that, and I just want some more literature, or I just need something else. You can just email me at walkwithmegod@aol.com, and I'll be more than happy to get something out into your hands that will get you started on the right pathway to wholeness, to wholeness. Hallelujah. And we never want to leave a broadcast without offering you the opportunity to come and give your life to Christ, what he's offering to you, and that is eternal life. That is to be with you right here during this life, never leave you, to lead you, direct you, protect you. And all you have to do is open your heart, believe that he is the Son of God, and ask him, invite him in. So just repeat after me this prayer of salvation. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. And I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen. Now, it's very, 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 very important that you reach out and let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. You said, I can't really turn to my family members with this information. You can talk to me. You can talk to another pastor, a leader. Get in a Bible teaching church, not just any church, but a Bible teaching church, and so you can get started on your true walk with God. I'd be more than happy to send you out any Bibles or any literature that will help you on your way. Again, my name is Evangelist Vaughn Dumas, and you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com, and I'll be more than happy to help you in any way that I can. And remember, I love you. So from Tri-Anointed Ministries here in San Antonio, Texas, we are signing off. The most important thing that you can know today is that God loves you. So you be in him, and he will abide in you. And you look out for signs that you may be able to watch some words that's coming out of your mouth to make a difference in someone's life. God has already made a difference in your life. Just accept it, please. Amen. Good night. Bye-bye.